Here is the Crescendo Music Education Podcast, episode number 15. Now for the second part of my chat with Ian Ross Williams. I know you're going to love it. If you missed the first part, pop back and listen to episode 14 before you listen to this episode. And another question I like to ask, so we're up to the standard bits that I like to ask my guests, and this is a huge question really, but for what are you most grateful?
It made me laugh when I saw that question. I'm grateful for everything. My family, my upbringing, the country that I was born in, my health. It just goes on and on. The fact that I've been able to develop confidence in music in my own little area. Now, you'd be very surprised, like my theoretical knowledge, and you know, I'm very limited in so many ways, I'm not very quick on the uptake, but my little island of expertise, which is writing songs and teaching, I found my level, you know. Primary school music, I can be really good at that, and writing songs for kids, I'm good at that. But when it comes to, you know, I go to these in-services and people like Doug Goodkin or Richard Gill or whoever it might be, they go, you're a bit limited when it comes to this, that. Yeah, I know. I really am. But I'm so grateful that I'm confident at least to be able to do that little thing. Look, my family, my life, it's just, you wake up in the morning where I live, you know, the birds are singing, the trees are, the sun, you know, it just goes on and on. The experiences that have fallen in my lap and the things that I've been able to explore, I'm grateful for everything.
We are just so lucky, aren't we, to be born here, born now, and all of those things.
Yes, I've never been to war.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, I'm with you. Yes, grateful for everything. Short answer. So we're up to my nuggets of fabulous, which I'm hoping by now listeners are going, oh, I'm looking forward to the nuggets of fabulous, but I almost don't think we need to ask it, but I'm going to, because you've already given us your nuggets of fabulous, the songs that we've talked about. Only a few, but you have picked some of your favorites. But I'm still going to ask, nuggets of fabulous, even though you're now retired recently.
Of other people's things that I've used in my class, music classroom over the years.
Yeah. What have you
loved? I always loved Big Black Train by Lucille Wood. Big Black Train, Big Black Train. So if you do it in C, Big Black Train, Big Black Train, take me up the mountain. Big Black Train, take me down again. Sweet little thing, lovely on melodic percussion. Play it on the guitar in the key of C. So with my guitar program that I used to do, so I got. So you're using two strings, two fingers. So that's one of my own little gold nuggets. I'll get back to that. So Lucille Wood, I think it was published in The Small Singer. A little book, a book, the 80s, or called The Small Singer. Yeah, Big Black Train. Colin Buchanan's The Mummy Song, I've always had a lot of mileage out of. It's a hilarious song. Great to do live. Look it up. You can find it on YouTube, his version. But it's just a hilarious song that the kids, I think, that probably would rank as one of the songs I would have liked to have written myself. Just a great, hilarious, thematic song. And speaking of other hilarious things, I'll do this because this is a good platform to do. So this game, this is just a ludicrously ridiculous game that works with most year levels, not very young, is a game called Evolution. And I got it through my wife, Josie, who was teaching Italian at the time. She was a low teacher. The kids play scissors, paper, rock. And in our area of Queensland, they do say scissors, paper, rock. Other places they go, paper, you know, they do it in different order and they go one, two, three or whatever. But the version that everyone does it here is scissors, paper, rock, or whatever it is, scissors, paper, rock. Even though they're saying rock, they do another one. So you've got five levels. You start out as a chicky. If you win, you go become a chook. If you win, you become a dinosaur. If you win, you become an old fossil. If you win, you become the super being at the top level. So the only element of music in this is you sing volare at the end as a super being. So I'll show you what you do. Okay. So you crouch down as chicky. You place this bed rock. If you lose, you're still a chicky. You go and find another chicky. If you win, you become a chook. So you're a chook. Place this paper rock. Find someone that's doing the same actions as you. You must do the action so they can find you. Chook. If you win, you become a dinosaur, a long-necked dinosaur.
Okay, yep.
You find another dinosaur, place this paper rock. If you win, you become an old fossil like me. You've got a sore knee and a sore back. Oh, look out, Sonny, I'm an old fossil. If you lose, you go back and find another old fossil. If you win, this is what you have to do with me modelling what it is. Volare, whoa, cantare, whoa, do 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 do, volare, and so it goes. It's ridiculous. The noise level absolutely crescendos up until you. But then gradually everyone is doing this stupid dance and song routine.
And do they keep doing?
I don't know whether it's music, but kids go to Italy and come back. Yeah. Mr. Williams, they were singing that song.
I love it. So do they keep
in Naples or whatever, you know?
Do they keep singing the winner's song until there's more winners?
Until everyone's doing it except for the four leftovers. So that's where you've got to be very at the end. Let them come in and join too, because. Finally, you do get one person. You've got two left. They place this paper rock. One wins. The other one's left on that level. So you've got, if they haven't cheated, I write it up on the whiteboard. So you've got, so they know, they don't forget, because you can forget as a little kid, you don't know what level you're up to. But it's a ridiculously funny thing, and it just gives you joy because everyone's just being an idiot and you just love it, you know.
You're
singing this Volare song,
Volare.
Which I have actually, I did learn when I went to Italy with Josie one time. I did learn how to sing. I've since forgotten, sadly, but I actually sang the whole Volare song in public and did it in a bit of a silly way too.
Well, I'll have to learn, never having sung the Volare song. And for those
You don't have to sing. You only sing in the first two lines.
Yeah. And
so that's, they're nuggets of fabulous, as you call them, that I've liked. Of my own material, I think if I had to name the biggest single thing that I got an enormous amount of positive feedback from kids and for parents, it would be the guitar program that I developed, which I got the insight into how to work it from Wayne Dower at Mooloolaba State School. Mm-hmm. So I developed this guitar program, which I'm happy to send to people if they contact me. It's demanding, and if you have, it depends on how you approach your classroom. But so I'll just move over a bit so you can see this. So it starts out, I've got it in levels. So we've got 10 levels. It does go beyond. I've got 15 levels. But so you're moving towards finger style playing. You're playing melody. The very first thing they learn to do is learning. And they're playing by tablature with the rhythm stick notation. So, oh, one, two, three. So they're learning to do this, keep their fingers in the mm-hmm. right order. So gradually you get up to big black training level four. Not that fast, obviously. Then you've got jingle bells, level five. And when you get to level seven, you've got twinkle, twinkle, little star.
That's your favourite.
There it is. So now we're using three strings. So a bit hard to see, but. And so on. So then we proceed up. And when you get to level 10, you've got things like. Thank you. and so on. So there's another one that Wayne wrote, which was... So you're learning to play fingerstyle with three strings, and you're using these three the fingers. So rather than teaching on mass, trying to teach chords, which works for a very small percentage of kids, playing like that, they can all do it. I've had kids in year two, even in year one, playing amazing stuff. And so if you want to go down that kind of an instrumental path where you're actually teaching an instrument, it's enormous. But I, you know, I used to loan the guitars out. Kids take the guitars home and learn it at home, just give them the sheets and what have you. And I've got it on. I've got another. It's a bit ordinary production, but it's Guitar Star. So if you type in Guitar Star level 6 or level whatever it is, it's on YouTube, supported on YouTube, so they can go and find it, how to play that stuff. So that was a big one. My most popular song to sing with the kids was Secret Agent Magpie. And Living in Australia. And Whimsy Was a Little Fish. The kids love playing that on melodic percussion. If you've got xylophones or marimbas, it's just such fun to play because you get really fast at it. You've got to look at your sticking pattern, so you've got to be actually teaching technique. But the kids really love that one. There's plenty of songs. I mean, everyone loves getting good at anything, but they did love that song. It was only one of my most recent ones before I finished. Yeah, so they're my little
nuggets.
Rainbow Fish was always a lovely little finger play style thing to do with the little kids. I used to, because a lot of people wouldn't be comfortable doing it, but I used to make it quite a funny thing too. So I'd substitute silly lyrics as well. So, yeah, there's all those things in your own teaching style that come out that, you know, you value add as much as you can to whatever you do, of course. And anyway, there's some other things that I'd say. Still like recorders. Like, there's such bad press about it, and so many people in Australia sort of go, recorders. And yet, you know, if you teach them to play well and don't do it on mass, that's my pet hate. Don't play with a class or playing recorders. It's a waste of time. They can't hear. Mm-hmm. They can't hear themselves. So they blow louder. And then there's this horrible sound in these plastic cheap recorders. I'm with you there, but I believe they're a great tool and can be used in many ways, but not en masse. Send them out and learn separately if you're going to do it like that, or have little groups. But
yes, but they can be beautiful. I still use them as a tool.
Oh, look, there's nothing.
They're beautiful and affordable. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a treble recorder, a good treble recorder. Oh, beautiful is that sound? It's a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
People don't know. Go and listen to the start of Stairway to Heaven. That's recorders.
Do you know what?
Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
I never made that connection. That would be cool to play for the kids, wouldn't it?
I had a recorder ensemble do that years ago. We didn't get all the way. We just did that first part. I've forgotten how we sort of tapered it off. But, yeah, I had bass, treble, tenor, whatever, discant. I don't think we had a piccolo, but whatever you call it, a little...
Sopranino.
But we had three or four different parts playing Stairway to Heaven. Yeah, because I played for it.
That would be so cool. That would be so cool. All right.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous instrument. So there's basically two little questions left, really. Well, one question and one chance for you to get on your soapbox. So, advocacy. Now, most people know I'm working pretty hard at this stage, as there are quite a few of us doing, to save music education. I'll just put it that way. We can put it however you wish, but there are programs being diminished. A lot of people not seeing music education as important. And of course, we know it's not just important, it's vital. So as I'm chatting to people, I'm just asking if they have any advice to give other music.
Well, I wish I did, but I just think you and Deb are doing an absolutely great job, and I just hope people support you by following up on all your different strands of what you're doing. Beyond that, no, I don't have anything, sadly. I think it's already terribly unfortunate what's happening. I don't know whether it's my age. I just look at things spiraling down and quality and you know, it's part, unfortunately, it's part of a wider scene of things, content being squandered in, rather than sort of glossing over this surface of so much stuff that we're cluttered with, we're supposedly trying to achieve and not doing properly. And to have this absolute wonderful aspect of Queensland education to be being diluted and trickled away, it's just criminal. But I think you've got your finger on the pulse. But, you know, I've really stepped back from, you know, I haven't quite retired. I think I told you I'm doing a day teaching music again at the River School in Mullaney. And that's great. It's really interesting not to be in the state system. They value music. I have hour-long lessons.
Wow.
And the classes are small, which is lovely. So, yeah, I'm doing one day a week now. So it's a good work-life balance. 6-day weekend, but don't mean to brag. But you know, it's never quite as simple as that. You've got in-services and meetings and et cetera, email trails that go on forever and what have you. But, I'm loving the different style of things and still getting used to it. It's quite a new learning curve. It's fun, actually.
That's good. And do you know what? It's nice to know that you're still working with children too.
Well, you know, I felt... You know, it is my area of expertise, writing this stuff, and it's where I'm still chasing, as I joke with you one time, you know, the greatest and best song in the world, Tribute.
Yeah, go Jack Black.
Your son was obsessed with it. But
he was.
And that was actually about, that song was, of course, written about Stairway to Heaven. But that's something I didn't go down. When I wanted to talk a little bit more about getting inspired and how I write, we didn't get
right into that. Yeah.
So with regards writing, I've always written. I've always written poetry since I was a kid. But I began songwriting in earnest. Well, not in earnest, but I began songwriting in my teens and then realised that I did have some, you know, element of talent in writing for kids, particularly once I started my teacher training and so on. But I've always admired good songwriting. You know, I've loved music. You know, the music, the world of music is enormous. As an aspect of music, songs with lyrics has always interested me, and I believe that songwriting is a noble pursuit. And I do believe that, and it's a source of endless fascination to me and great inspiration to me. So the songs that I find excitingly good, like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, tragic though it may sound, I know a lot about that song. You know, there are accomplished musicians that believe Mozart wrote it. He didn't. He did 12 variations on it, but that tune existed before Mozart. That tune was a French folk tune, and then it became popularized. And when it was popularized, around that time is when he decided, well, you know, he can do anything, I'll do 12 variations. And they're like exhausting to listen to his variations. They're like unbelievable. Like, what a show off. But so he didn't write it. But the whole background of song. So and another thing that has always struck me with so many of the truly great songs. You know, if I had to rank the all-time greatest song ever written, as opposed to a folk song that's come through, like The Water Is Wide, which is gloriously heart-wrenchingly beautiful, I would probably rank Over the Rainbow as the greatest song. But this is only, it's a funny kind of a game because it's all a matter of taste. But that song was written for children, and this happens time and again. And the story behind it is fantastic. Louis Mayer didn't like it, was going to kick it out of the movie. The guys that wrote it, Arlen and Harburg, the melodicist, the lyricist and the composer, they had a method, and it's a method that is what I like, but I'm only one person. So you have an idea lyrically or as a topic or as a title, and then you go to the music and then you bring in the lyric. But there's so many variations on that. But that was written, you know, that was their task. They were writing for The Wizard of Oz. And the moment of inspiration when it comes is so exciting. And even on my little level, when you crack or you find the key to the song that is going to make it special, because you're looking for more than just, like, anyone can write a song. You can put a melody to anything you say. Everything we say has rhythm and melody, but it's not going to be memorable or useful or exciting, let's say. And so when you find those little things, it's just great. Mm. And to get into that zone, so it's always on my agenda. I am a songwriter. That's what I do. And that's always, so this is part of the battle, because if you're only doing it part-time, you know, you're going to have to find time to do it some. But I do it. I like every day I'm thinking, I don't spend a lot of time, but I do. I tell my wife, I'm not just sitting here doing nothing, you know, I'm thinking. and I might be working through some idea, but yeah, the other thing that, so the other thing about kids and great timeless songs like Over the Rainbow, so that was written for children. Maya felt that it was too adult for kids. But of course, this is another thing that happens in children's music. People undersell what kids can understand. And you can pitch any concept at all to a kid. If you pitch it at the correct level, there's nothing you can't get a kid to gain some understanding of. So I never want to undersell what I find, which is not to say I don't do stupid, silly songs that are just silly and fun. Though I don't do that particularly well, I don't think. I'm a bit more of a serious dude, but I just find it exciting, the backstories to some of the great songs. I don't know if you know the song, I can't make, even to actually say this makes me get emotional. The song called I Can't Make You Love Me, do you know that?
No.
Bonnie Raitt. Look it up, Bonnie Raitt, I Can't Make You Love Me.
Write it down, just a minute. I can't make you love. Who is it by?
Bonnie Raitt sings the best version, but it's one of those songs. It's simple piano. Quite a famous piano accompanist played the piano for it. The guys that wrote it, they are American guys, and the kernel of the song happened because this guy read an account of a legal proceedings in a newspaper, and this guy had got drunk and fired shots at his girlfriend's car. I don't know whether she was in it, but no one was injured. And it was, you know, whoa. And so he'd been hauled before the courts and he was in, you know, deep doo-doo. And so the magistrate or the judge or whatever said to him, have you learned anything from this? And this is the account in the newspaper. And the guy said, now, I'd like to quote this properly. The judge asked him if he had learned anything, to which he replied, I learned, Your Honour, that you can't make a woman love you if she don't. and this, and I love the fact, and they worked at this song for 6 months. I love it when you hear stories of it just arrived in your lap, like yesterday, the tune arrived in McCartney's lap. Took him a couple of months before he came up with yesterday. He was driving through Scotland and he just wanted a three-syllable da-da-da, and he came up with the word yesterday and he was in. So I love that moment where you get whatever it is, the key to it. So they knew that they were onto something with this I Can't Make You Love Me, but they nailed it. It took them a while, and then they were playing it at a much faster tempo, and then finally the guy that wrote the music pulled it back and he got his friend. They'd been working on it each once a week for the best part of 6 months, and he played it slowly and they sang it and they just practically sort of fainted. They knew, the lyricist said that I knew this was the most important thing that I'd ever done, that I'd ever been part of. These stories are just lovely, you know. But back to the theme about children and great songs. I don't know if you know about the Beatles documentary, the 8 or 9 hour Beatles documentary, Get Back, which has just been released on Disney. So it's a huge thing done by Peter Jackson, who did Lord of the Rings. He's waded through however many hours of footage and put it together. And, of course, I'm a big Beatles fan. The middle, late session, late part of the Beatles is miraculous and a source of great inspiration because of the breadth and the amount of cool children's material that's in there. And as a songwriter, Lennon in that period of time was doing a lot of that psychedelics, so-called psychedelic stuff, which is in fact a nostalgia for the simplicity and the innocence of childhood. And songs like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, directly from his child's drawing, but about his own childhood, incredible lyric, Strawberry Fields. His abilities as a songwriter, the way that it was often pitched towards children. Dear Prudence is another favourite of my stuff. All the references to childhood in that. Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play? He did this a lot. And what's called psychedelic music, the psychedelic stuff, is actually really well connected to children again. And you see this time and again, great songs that have a real connection with the child in yourself as a songwriter. And, so I find that really exciting, but also just loving the backstories of some of these songs, you know. Yeah, so that gets me in a zone because I do find it really exciting. Back on Lennon, you know, his lyrics were so sophisticated and so individual. Just to quote two quite different songs, Strawberry Fields, when he says in verse 2, I think it is, if you read it out, always know sometimes think it's me, but you know I know when it's a dream. I think I know, I mean, yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Wow. I just find it astounding. You know, he was rattled with drugs at the time, but he was using this to come up with this incredibly sophisticated wordplay. And I just find wordplay fascinating and I love it. And I do love the whole melodic and chordal thing too, but I'm not very sophisticated in that area, but I do love the lyric. I've been trying to get away with the Orff thing, from the Orff thing, because I've been doing the Orff thing seriously for 10 years now. I'm trying to get back to lyric-driven topical stuff, but I'm still getting dragged back into the Orff thing. The other John Lennon, an example of Lennon's sophistication with his lyric, which seemed to dissipate after he left the Beatles, but he was using that whole the child aspect to inspire his lyric. Mm-hmm. But another example of his lyric, which I just love, and people may laugh at this too, and in fact, in the Let It Be, Get Back doco, they claimed that his song Don't Let Me Down was corny, but I think it's heart-wrenching. So Don't Let Me Down, beautifully recorded for the Let It Be. No, it didn't go on the Let It Be album, but whenever it came out. And from the first time that she really done me, oh, she done me good. And when you come across, like, that to me, I find that as a lyricist, just when you can turn something around to have layers of meanings and just love it, absolutely love it, as you can tell. Don't get me started.
No. And do you know what, Ian? I think that does come through in your music that you write, that your love of...
I hope that does. Because
your love of the lyric, you know.
I agonise over these lyrics. Yeah. There are many, many hours, sleepless nights of just working through things. But when you find, it's just so exciting when you do find a little key or you find a little aspect that's just raised your song a little bit to another level. A plug, you know, we were talking about Rounds. I nailed that song, which is now called Monotreme Dreams. It's a round. I think it's one of the best things I've written. It'll be coming out in about probably only a couple of weeks. It's virtually ready to go. I've finished the recording. I'll be putting it out on YouTube. It's called Monitoring Dreams and it's around. And that song, I'd come up with a lyric and I ran it past you, actually. I'm an echidna. So actually, I'll sing it. I'll sing the wrong lyric. Oh, dear, this is badly edited. I'm an echidna and everyone knows you're the platypus that I chose. bum, bum, Allah. So the lyric there, I initially came up with hooning across Australia, documentary stars of the show. And it didn't, like, hooning is a bit too, you don't really want hooning in a song. But I finally came up with beaming across Australia, which then tied in with the documentary. And it was the right word. And when you get that, you go, yes. So then I was playing with monotremes. So I've got TV monotremes in stereo. And then it's my favourite rhyme that I've come up with for a long time. Cuddle in my puggle in my burrow. I know, because... So that rhymes with the uddler, uddler, cuddle, cuddle, cuddle in, cuddling my puggle in my burrow. Burrow, the O, rhymes with the end rhyme and the internal rhyme of cuddling my puggle in my burrow. So I thought, oh, I've nailed it. I've got it.
No, that's it. That little, I know what you mean. That little magic, that little bit of that internal rhyme that ties up. Yep. And yeah. That's,
and then it lifts it, and then that you can then build on that excitement of and whatever it seems to, the juices flow and the ideas come. So the melody for that gave me a bit of grief, because around, you know, it's got to be so cyclical and it's got to lay out properly. And so I spent a bit of time on that, not a lot of time, but I really like it. It's a nice and interesting chord chain, chord progression that I, most of them are dead simple that I do, but so it went from E minor to B minor to C to D. So we start on an E, a minor. So you got the one, then you got the so five minor, then you got a six and a seven or something, C to D. So yeah, it's interesting enough on that level. But it's quirky. But again, when you think about how quirky some of the stuff that Lennon did in that Beatles, middle to late Beatles period, you think, throw it out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is sometimes surprising, songs that you think, oh, it's one of the best things I've ever written. They don't go very well necessarily, but so I am aware that my YouTube audience is primary school music teachers, and that's fine because that's where I'm at. But it'd be lovely if some of these more topical songs could find their way back into the world. You know, as kids' songs go, people always think of, particularly from our generation, Puff the Magic Dragon. But then there's like The Lion Sleeps Tonight, when that's an interesting story, because that's actually based on an African song called Mube, and they finally got paid royalties from Pete Seeger, who'd made a hit with Wimaway. The biggest hit was with a song called The Lion Sleeps Tonight, but it all came from this, they know who wrote it, Solomon was his surname. But all of these big songs, so many of them connect with some aspect of childhood. And it's really the kernel of who we are somehow, that mm-hmm. you do carry the child that you were with you, and it stays, you know, and it comes out. And I'm lucky to be able to play with that, you know.
You're allowed to indulge your inner child all the time, and we get to benefit.
Yeah, but that's going back to teaching again. You do miss the actual contact when you do the music, and you're seeing, you're getting that reward, you're getting that back. Yeah. So that's, of course, one of the highlights of writing songs is seeing and hearing when people do recordings in some other country, or ex-students asking for recordings or saying how much it meant, all of that. You know what it's like. It's lovely. Yeah, but to know that your song's being sung is exciting and heartening, eminently pleasurable.
Well, I can tell you, I'll speak on behalf of all the other music teachers. We're very, very grateful that you've written all these beautiful things and that you're still writing. So,
yeah,
so there you go, writing. Public thank you.
I wonder, every song you finish and think, oh, is that the last one? You know, you go, because I'm at that juncture. I worked, was it yesterday, quite a while, something that didn't go anywhere. So a fair portion of the day, let's say 3 or 4 hours. And more, because then when I go off walking in the bush or on a bicycle, it's still, I didn't go anywhere. But I've got 3 or 4 songs in the wing. I've got the monotremes one. I have virtually finished a ridiculous electro pop song called Wombat on a Mission. I'm trying to get away from that Australian animal thing too, but I'm also trying to get thematic and not sort of music teacher Oof. But I keep getting dragged back into that because I suppose that's my heartland, you know. But
we like you there. You can hang around.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable there. But I think, you know, I've really given the music teacher Orff thing a good shot. My two Xylo Beat collections, the Music Make Me Rise, my last CD that I ever recorded, One Heartbeat from the Sun, was infused with that as well. So these current songs, ridiculous as it is, Wombat on a Mission isn't a school teacher, music teacher song. I don't know that many music teachers are going to like it, actually, but it's ridiculous. It's more closely related to Crazy Frog than anything else.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, no, look.
Unfortunately, my video budget, my animation budget, not up there.
Well, I would like to hear it. I think that'll be amazing.
Well, it's not meant to be taken too seriously. No. But that's the last thing I've written. So now I'm in a space. So stay tuned. Check out YouTube. I try and get one up a month. To write and record and make a video is tricky, though I have got a back catalogue that I dip into as well to pad it out. Yeah, I've got a back catalogue, there's no doubt about that.
That is amazing. I have learnt so much. It's been absolutely fascinating speaking to you this morning. I just thank you. I'm probably going to split this into two episodes so that it's, you know, I think because it's been long and wonderful, but I think I'll chop that in two. But before we sign off, you get a chance to.
Well, before you go, I do want to thank you for all your support and interest too. I really do appreciate it. I really, really do. People want to find me. Is that where you're going to go or somewhere else? But check out my YouTube channel and check the playlist. It's got a music teacher playlist. And that, like, there's over 100 songs up there now. It's quite getting unwieldy, you know what it's like, because you've got heaps too. I don't know how you do it with your, do you do playlists and stuff? But my playlist for music teacher primary school, has got about 40 or 50, maybe 40 songs. Check that out rather than go, where am I going to start with this?
Oh, that's good. I don't think I even realised you had the playlist. And it's
Into the playlist.
Yeah, we'll put the link to the actual playlist in the show notes too. And your website's ianrosswilliams.com.au, which we also will put that in the playlist. Yeah. But if people have a look first, look at what they like, and then they can get onto your website and find, you know, the albums and whatever that they can purchase to support you because...
Well, yeah, look, it's not even about purchasing. I'm not trying to make money out of this, so I'm under no illusions that I'm even going to be... I get royalty checks or royalties of, you know, $3.21 or, you know, a big one might be $4.63 or something.
Yeah, well, you know, just don't get too rich on that.
And when I get to, I've forgotten what amount it is, where, you know, whatever it is that collects my digital sales, when it gets up to $50, I think I get one, which might be once every quarter or 6 months or something. I'm not trying to make money. So if people want to, and I'm not likely to, I'm not worried about that. I just love people to use my material. Contact me. I'm quite contactable. And I'll mostly just give it to you, you know, and or a nominal fee for whatever you want.
That's very generous. Very generous.
So it's just not about that. It's just about having the joy of people using the stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's a beautiful note to finish on. But if there's something that you would like to say, I'd like to just give you a chance to get on your soapbox and tell the world something. Assuming that there's thousands of people downloading this episode and you want to tell them something really important to you, a message to the world.
Getting emotional. The thing that springs to mind is to be kind. Mm. Be kind to yourself and to be kind to everyone else. We're all carrying our load, every single one.
I love that.
Be kind.
Oh, stop it. You're going to make me cry. Stop, Ian. Don't. Okay. Well, on that beautiful, beautiful note, I am saying bye for now to Ian Ross-Williams. And I know that the whole world appreciates the music that you've put out there and your kind heart.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too.
This podcast is brought to you by Crescendo Music Education, connecting, supporting, and inspiring music educators. In the show notes, you'll find links to Crescendo's social media platforms. Please connect with me and be part of the Crescendo community. You might consider becoming a Crescendo member. For a low annual fee, you can access hundreds of files, worksheets, printables, workbooks, repeat workshops and webinars, and receive great discounts on events. So come and connect with me, Debbie O'Shea. See you in the socials. As we know, laughter relieves stress. Don't lose sight of the funny side of life. How do you make a sausage roll? Easy. You push it. Boy, that's one that takes me back to childhood.